Blog Talk Radio.
To God be the glory for the great and mighty things that he has done. We would like to welcome you to the Hour of Power broadcast. We are broadcasting live from the bold and beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida, where God gets all of the glory, where God gets all of the honor, and where God will get all of the praise. For the word of God says, if I be lifted up, he says that he will draw all men unto him. It's time for men and women, boys and girls, to be drawn unto Jesus Christ. It's time for us to know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's time for us to know the Alpha and Omega. Yes, he is the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning. He is the ending. He is the first and the last. He is the true and the living God. Yes, he has all power in his hand. He is able to do it exceedingly, abundantly above all that we ask or think. There is nothing too hard for him to do. And this I stand on, this I proclaim today, no matter what the situation in your life, no matter what you may be going through today, I proclaim the word of God that God, he is God and he is God all by himself. Word of God say, ask and it shall be given. He said to seek and ye shall find. He said to knock and the door shall be open. He said if we have the faith of a grain of mustard seed and say to the mountain, be thou moved, the word of God said that it shall be moved. So we want to welcome you to the Hour of Power broadcast this morning. We're broadcasting again live from the bold and beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida. Here at the Hour of Power, God will always get the glory. He will always get the honor, and he will always be praised. So here we see today, as we get ready to go before the throne of grace, I want you to call a neighbor, call a friend, tell them that the break that this broadcast, the Hour of Power broadcast, is on the air, and that if they need a blessing, if they need to hear from God Almighty, that they can hear from Him on today. So I want you to know that even as we get ready to go before the Lord God, I want you to stand in agreement with the Word of God. Stand in agreement with me concerning your need, whatever it is in your life. God is able to move on your behalf. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you. We praise your name. We magnify you, God. We lift your name up high. We give you all of the praise and all of the glory and all of the honor. Lord, even as we go before you today, Lord, we ask you, Lord, to have your way. Lord, we thank you right now because, God, you are God. We thank you, God, because you are Jehovah Jireh. Yes, you are our provider. God, you're the everlasting God. Thank you, God, for being the Prince of Peace. Thank you, God, for being God. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, the great I am. Thank you for being the I am that I am. And Lord, we ask thee, Lord, to cover the earth, God, even today with your word. Call the word of God to go forth, Father. Call the word of God in the mighty name of Jesus, God, to penetrate areas, Lord God. Oh God, where the need is, God. Penetrate the areas, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus, where sickness is, where the disease is, God. God, with those that the people are blind, God, with the spiritually blind, God, that they cannot see, God, that they cannot hear you, Lord God. I see God to call, Lord God. God, they give them sight in the spirit. God, call the ears to be able to hear you in the spirit, Lord God. Call their heart, God, to turn, oh God, to you, God, this day and this hour. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, your word say, if my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek your face, turn away from their wicked way. God, you said, God, that you would hear from heaven. You said, God, that you would forgive the sin. You said, God, that you would heal the land. So I ask in the name of Jesus, God, to Lord, forgive the sin. I ask God to heal the land. I ask God to touch the people right now. God, they need you, Lord God. They need their in need of a blessing. God, they're in need of a healing. God, they're in need of a deliverance, Lord God. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, touch them right now. God, I send a word, God, to those that are discouraged. God, those that are oppressed. God, those that are depressed, God. I send a word to them, Father, even now. God, that you would touch them. God, that they would hear. And God, that they will receive of you, Lord God. In the mighty name of Jesus, and this we will forever bless and praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Yes, you are listening to the Hour of Power broadcast, and we are broadcasting live from Jacksonville, Florida. And today we're here to preach the unadulterated, uncompromising word of God that is able to deliver you, that is able to save you, and is able to make you free. Today we're going to be coming from Judges, that sixth chapter, that's in the Old Testament. And if you have your Bible ready and available, we want you to go to that sixth chapter of Judges, and we're going to talk about the man of God, the man that God has called to deliver his people. Here in that first verse, let's begin at that first verse of the sixth chapter of Judges. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Midianites 7 years. And the hand of the Midianites prevailed against Israel. And because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and stronghold. And it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them. And they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come unto Gaza and left no substance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. But they came up with their paddles and their tents, and they came up and they came as grasshoppers for the multitude, for both they and their camera were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. I would like to stop right there as we get ready to go further into the Word of God. And I look at here, and we're talking about Israel. We're talking about how Israel had done evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord had delivered the Midianites. He had delivered Israel unto the Midianites. He had them in that place for 7 years because of their wickedness, because of their evil, because they were disobedient, because they wouldn't do what God had called them to do. Yes, they were people of God, but disobedience and rebellion have to be dealt with. So therefore, God had Israel, his people. He had them, caused them to be delivered to the Midianites. And as we say, they were there for 7 years. And the Midianites, they had prevailed against Israel. When we are not in the hand of God, when we have been disobedient to God, when we have been rebellion, and we have do things our way, when we have left God out of his place, we have tried to take God off the throne and not recognize him as being the Almighty God. God calls Israel to be put into the hand of the enemy. He has put them in the hand of the Midianites. And they had to be able to run, and they had to be able to hide in dens, in mountains, as the Word of God, and caves. And they had to be able to be in strongholds to hide against the Midianites. And it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them. When they sold, when they did prosper, when they had things that they thought were theirs, the Midianites came up against them, and they encamped against them, and they destroyed the increase, whatever increase that they had, that the Midianites, the enemy, the Amalekites, came against them, and they took away that increase. How would you feel if you work on a job for 2 weeks and the enemy came and took everything? When you went to the bank and you had your money deposited in the bank, and the enemy came and took all that you have, how would you imagine how you would feel? You may be looking at $2,000. You may be looking at $4,000 or $8,000 or whatever you may have, and then the enemy came and took everything that you had. So here it is with the Midianites. They came against Israel. Israel was disobedient. Israel was rebellious to the Almighty God. And they came up against them. And here the Word of God tells us in that fourth verse, and they encamped against them. This is the enemy encamping against Israel and destroy the increase of the earth, till thou come unto Gaza and left no substance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitudes, for both they and their Cambra were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. Oh, my God, look at what happens when we are disobeyed, when we disobey God, when we don't put God in the place that he should be. Well, why? When we don't obey God, when we don't recognize him as being God, as being our Jehovah Jireh. See, God has provided. God has taken care of Israel. He has blessed them. He has brought them out of darkness into a marvelous light. He has, when they cried over there in the word of God, and he cried for Moses to cried that God would deliver them from the Pharaoh. How Pharaoh, remember how Pharaoh was treating them? Remember how the taskmaster was treating them? Remember how they did them? But yet we see here in the word of God, has Israel, they continue at times. You know how it is, how people that hear the word of God, they repent. They say, Lord, I'm going to live this life for you. God, I'm going to stand on your word. God, I'm going to give you my God, I'm going to surrender my mind, my heart, my soul to you. And yet, these same people, when they began to prosper, when they began to do good, then they turned away from the Almighty God. These people turned into idolatry. These people turned to an unknown God, a God that was not able to deliver them. They did wickedness. They did things that came against the word of God. So God allowed the enemy, he allowed the enemy to come against Israel. He allowed them to come and to take what they had, that was their increase, those things that they had. The enemy came, and they came as grasshoppers. There were so many. There were so many of them. It wasn't just a few of them. It was many of them that came against them. For the word of God tells us in that fifth verse, for they came up with their cattle and with their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude, for both they and their camel were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. Sometime when you're in a place, when you're not hearing God, when you're not doing the will of God, sometimes it takes things such as this to bring you back to the face of the Most High God. Sometimes it takes these things for you to know that God, that he is God, and he is God all by himself. There is a place that only that you should give God. The word of God say, hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. So here we see that Israel had turned away from God, and after they had turned, after they had gone through hard times, after they got tired of being beaten up, after they were tired of things being taken away from them, the enemy coming against them like grasshoppers, the enemy taking everything that they had, they began then to cry unto the Lord. And here we see in the word of the Lord, it says here in that seventh verse, and it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, and the Lord sent a prophet. See, God, he heard them, and see, he seen them, and he knew what was happening to them even before he sent the prophet. God, he seen what they were entangled in, and how the enemy was taken from them, and how the enemy was doing them, and how the enemy was coming directly against them. The enemy of the Lord, the enemy of the children of Israel. But God allowed it to be because of their disobedience unto him. And then they began to cry unto the Lord. Remember in the book, in the word of God,
in Exodus, how they began to cry unto the Lord. Yes, again, they're crying unto the Lord because of the Midianites. And the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, thus says the Lord, God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you forth out of the house of bondage. And I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the land and of the hand of all that oppressed you and drove them out from before you and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the God of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. God let them remind them how he brought them out, how he brought them out with a strong hand and with a stretched out arm. It was him that he brought them out. So the prophet came and the prophet talked to them and reminded through the Lord speaking unto the prophet and let them know how he delivered them out of the hands of the Egyptians and out of the hands of all that oppressed them. But they didn't appreciate that. They had to go through some other things. You know, sometimes in good times, we forget about God. When things are going our way, when things seem to be lining up the way that we want to, it to line up, we forget about God. But God did not forget about us. He loves us, and he does not forget about us. But he is looking for us to be obedient unto him. And Israel was disobedient unto God. So he allowed them to go through the things that they went through. He even delivered them out of the hands of the Midianites. And he did it, as the word of God says, for 7 years. And there came an angel in that 11th verse of the Lord, and sat under an oak, which was an Oprah, and pertained unto Joash, and the Abia, and his son Gideon, threshing wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befalling us? And where be all his miracles, which our father told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us from the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this, thy mighty, go in this, thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites, which have not I sent thee. And he said unto them, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least of my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. God had called Gideon. Gideon thought that he, first of all, when we began to look at this, he wanted to know, you know, all the things that he heard about what God did, how he did miracles, how he was with the people of God. As we read in that 13th verse, all the miracles that he did, and he was thinking, my God, what has happened to us? Why have God forsaken us? Is God no longer with us? How can God leave us after all the things that he's done for us, all the miracles that I've heard that he did? Where is he? He has delivered us under the hands of the Midianites. And here the Lord, when we look there at the 14th verse, God was speaking unto him. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. And then he said, have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor. Did you not hear many of the excuses that many of us use so many times when God called us, when he called us to go forth, no matter what the commission is, no matter what the mission is, God called us, and we began to look at ourselves, and we began to make excuses as what we cannot do. And because he is saying here that my family is poor, and he was trying to get it, he said, I am the least of my father's and my father's house. Like I'm not worthy, you know, many excuses that we will use because we think that God cannot use us, and why is God saying that he's going to use us, and why are we feeling like this, and that God was going to use us, and feeling this like I'm not worthy to be used of God. Who am I to go, just like Moses, though, who am I to go to talk to Pharaoh? I mean, who am I? You know, I can't even talk. I can't even speak where. I can't speak clearly. You know, he made so many excuses to God. But God knows who we are. Remember, he created us, and he made us, and whatever it is, assignment that God has given us, we have to fulfill that assignment. And here we see when he was talking about that he was the least in his father's house, and the Lord said unto him, in that 16th verse, he said, surely I will be with thee. And that's what you got to do today. I don't know who's listening to me today, but you got to know that the Lord God, he will be with thee. And this is what he was telling Gideon, I will be with you. He had to encourage him. You know, God will encourage us. God will encourage us. And sometimes we do need encouraging. But God said, telling him that I surely, not maybe, but he said, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, show me a sign that thou talkest with me. You have been there, and you know that God is speaking to you. And you say, God, is this you? Show me a sign. Let me know that it is you that is talking to me and speaking to me. I need the confirmation. I need to know that you, what you are saying to me is for me. And here the word of God said, I have in that 17th verse, and it said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not then, I pray thee, until I come unto thee, and bring forth my present, set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. So Gideon wanted to go for them to wait. He's going to get his gift. He's going to bring it to them. And then in that 19th verse, it says, and Gideon went in, made a they raised a kid, an unleavened cake of an ephah of flour. The flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot, and brought it out unto him under the oak, and prepared it. And the angel of God said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cake, and lay upon the rock, and pour out the broth. And he did so. And the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the unleavened cake, and there rose up a fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cake. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight, out of Gideon's sight. And when Gideon perceived that it was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, "Alas, O Lord God, but behold, I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face." And the Lord said unto him, "Peace be unto thee. Fear not, thou shalt not die." And then Gideon built an altar unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day, it is yet in Ophrah of the Abizah. And it came to pass, the word of God said, that same night that the Lord said unto him, "Take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of the 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father has, and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar to the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock, and in the order place, and take the second bullock and offer a burning sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down." Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. The Lord was letting him to know to go in and to destroy, to pull down the altar, to pull down these altars, the altar and the bullock and the things that pull down these things. He said in that 26th verse, "And build an altar unto the Lord." I want you to pull down the bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar. Take these things, these bullocks, take it and pull down the altar. These things that your father, the other people, have been worshiping of Baal. Because, you know, God is God, and he is God all by himself, and he is the only God that we should be serving. So if there's any other thing that we're serving, we're not in the will of God. You know, if there's people that we're looking to and they are becoming before God, then we're not in the will of God. If there are things that we are serving, are things that we love more than God, then we are not in the will of God. So God wanted them, everything that was of Baal, everything was not of him, everything that they are worshiping, everything that they were worshiping that was not of God, then his assignment was to go and to be able to throw these things down, to tear these things down. And God told him, Gideon, how to do it. And that's when he had took these 10 men, these 10 servants, and did. He did it by night, because if he did it by day, he was afraid of what was going to happen to him. And in that 28th verse, "And when the men of the city rose early in the morning, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down and was by it, and the second bullock was offered unto the altar that was built. And they said unto another, Who has done this thing? And when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joab, have done this thing. And the men of the city said unto Joab, Bring out thy son, that he may die, because he has cast down the altar of Baal, and because he has cut down the grove that was by it." See, God told Gideon to do it. God told Gideon to get rid of it. God told Gideon how to do it. See, it's better to obey God than obey man. And see, they wanted to kill him. They knew when someone told them that it was Gideon that did this, they called Gideon father, and they wanted his father to bring him out so they could, that Gideon to die, because he obeyed God. But if God be for you, it is more than they that will be against you. In that 31st verse, "And Joab said unto all that stood against him, Will ye plead for Baal? Will ye save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death while it is yet morning. If he be a God, let him spread, let him plead for himself. If he's so bad and he's supposed to be Baal, if he's supposed to be a God, let him plead for himself. Because in that level, in that 31st verse, it says, if he be a God, let him plead for himself, because one had cast down his altar. Therefore, on that day, he called him Jerubbaal, saying, let Baal plead against him, because he has thrown down his altar. Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jerib. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiathar was gathered against him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also was gathered after him, and he sent messengers from Aser unto Zebulun unto Naphtali, and they came up to meet them. And in that 36th verse, and Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wood in the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, as the dry, and it be dry upon all the earth besides, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said. And it was so, when he rose up early on the morrow and thrust the fleece together and rained the dew out of the fleece, a bowl of full water, just as he requested the Lord to do. He wanted to know, he wanted to confirm that God was with him. But then he said, and in that 39th verse, and Gideon said unto God, let not thy anger be hot against me. I know what I said. I know what I asked you before. You did it. But don't be angry. You want him not to be hot against me? Let not thy anger be hot against me. And I will speak for what this once. Let me prove. I pray thee, put this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night, but it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. I believe God this morning. And I believe that even if you heard the word of God today, that your faith has gone to the next level. And we're going to begin this coming Friday, and we're going to go until that seventh chapter, and we're going to see the miraculous working of God, what God has done and what God is doing. We got a chance to see the call of Gideon. We got to see how God dealt with him and how God has sent the angels to him. And we got to see how God, when God called you, even you can take it within yourself, when God has called you to do a work for him, how God won't leave you standing there alone. God won't leave you. He said, I'll never leave you. He said, I'll never forsake you. I realized that God had to do what he did to the Israelites, when he had let them be handed over to the hands of the Midianites because of their wickedness, because of the way that they had turned away from God. And you know what? The Bible let us know that warning coming for destruction. The people would not listen. These poor, these God people. When God people don't listen, there's going to be some result. They're going to have to be accountability, because when we don't listen to what God is saying, don't you remember in the Word of God how he had warned Eli about his two sons, how the wickedness that they did as priests in the house of the Lord. God had warned Eli. God had warned him. And so it was that because of their sinful ways, because they wouldn't turn to God, because they wouldn't stop doing what they were doing, God dealt with them. Same day Eli died, same day his two sons died, same day the mother, when they heard that the father had passed away, had died, and she was in bearing, she was bearing a child, and she died in childbirth. So we have to know that God does deal with sin. People of God, God deals with sin. The word of God says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. If you want eternal life, you need God. So today here at this hour, power broadcast, we want you to know that if you are in sin, or you are backslider, you're regressing, you're not living according to the word of God, that God wants to save you, God wants to deliver you. He, even when the Israelites, when they were in sin, and they turned back to God, they turned, they began to cry unto God, because they knew they were wrong. They knew that they wasn't living right. They knew they wasn't coming up according to the word of God. They wasn't meeting the standard. They wasn't doing what God had called them to do. They were going through difficult times, hard times in their life. Somebody said, why am I going through such a hard time? And it's not all because sometimes that we have moved away from God, that we have stopped serving God. Well, I do know that the word of God let us know that even as he suffered, even as Christ suffered in the flesh, to arm ourselves likewise to suffer, I realize as men and women of God that we are going to go through some things in our life. I realize that. The word of God tells us that he will be with us. He said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. But then we're going to have to know, we have to stand on God's word. And we have to build ourselves up with the word of God so we know when we are sinning. We know when we're out of the will of God. We know that when we're out of the will of God. So Israel knew when they were out of the will of God, and God dealt with them. And he didn't let them be in there 2 months or 3 months. He didn't even let them in there 1 year or 3 years. He let them stay in that situation for 7 years because of their disobedience. And you say, why God let them stay such a long time? You know, this was not the first time Israel was disobedient to God. And somebody out there, this is not your first time. It's not even your second or third time. It may not be even the fourth, fifth, or sixth time. But God wants you to turn back to him. And we're going to go, and we're going to finish this up on this coming Friday. But we're getting ready to go before the throne of God. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, we praise you. God, we magnify your name. Lord, we just thank you for all that you have done and all, God, that you're going to do according to your word. We thank you, God, that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Father, in the name of Jesus, those that are this word, God, those of the north, the south, the east, and west, God, those that are cities and states, God, that heard this word, Lord, those that are not saved, God, I pray even now, God, that you say that we confess with our mouth, Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God is raising from the dead. God, your word says that we shall be saved. I ask that God to save right now, deliver, and to make free. And Father, I thank you, Lord God, for saving them and delivering them. Those that are sick, I pray healing upon their body. Lord, even as I pray, I see God to look upon those that are New Orleans. I see God to look upon those in Louisiana. I see God to look upon all of those, Father God, in different cities and states, Lord God, have been affected by the hurricane and the storm. Cover them under your blood. And Father, I thank you for this. In Jesus' name. name we pray. Amen and amen. Please join us this coming Friday at 9 o'clock on the Hour of Power broadcast. This has been the preacher of the hour, Reverend Dr. Mary Smith McCoy. God bless you and keep you is my prayer.